challenge. What are we going to do? Now, for the past few moments, we've been discussing the challenge of Shangri-La. Shangri-La is a very special building. It's a building here on the campus of the University of Healing in Campo, California. And it is a building that was built in 1956. It's a very charming building. It has a lot of imagination to it. And it probably should be torn down. But until we tear it down and build a new one, we have a substantial building that we can enjoy. We can put a couple of ceilings up and fix a few walls and put in a few doors, and it'll serve probably for another 50 years before we redo it. But at the moment, it's an interesting building. In the master bedroom, I noticed that somebody stepped on the floor in front of the cabinet, and the picture jumped off the cabinet and fell on the floor and broke. And the picture, of course, was me. But that's okay. The floor is like that. If you stand on the floor in front of the cabinet and you step from one foot to the other, the cabinet will rock back and forth because the floor underneath apparently is a little insecure. But today, the challenge was given to John and Jared to move in there and make it homey. And so John and Jared moved in there and made it homey. And instead of saying, "Oh, what an old place, you know, what a sad place," they said, "What a beautiful place of imagination. What a wonderful experience this is going to be." John says, "I have the back bedroom, and it's a wonderful back bedroom. It has its private study and a big walk-in closet combined. Really quite lovely." And he said, "There's room to spread my things out. Not like the monk's cell where I lived before, where everything was very put much together, very organized. Now I can spread out. And so my few things are going to look like a great many things. But it's going to be fun." And Garrett, he said, "I am living in the room with the fireplace." Well, now other people call that the living room. But Garrett calls it his bedroom. And so he's put his bed on the floor next to the fireplace. And he is looking forward to having some romantic interludes in there because he has found an angel in the corner. And he is going to introduce himself to that angel and find out what wonderful things this angel is up to, why this angel is there, and why this angel is visiting this marvelous Shangri-La. And when he is done finding out everything, he's going to come and tell us all about it. He's going to say, "Would you believe?" And we'll say, "Oh, yes, we believe. We believe. And we are interested in hearing more about it." But you see, this is making your challenge into something beautiful, making your challenge into something that is an indicator of where you're growing, how you're achieving something. Now, a lot of people, they say, you know, "All I get is challenges, challenges, challenges. Life's just full of challenges." Well, it's going to continue to be full of challenges until you change it by recognizing what those challenges are. The challenges really are not challenges. They're just opportunities for you to use your imagination, for you to dream a little and think of the possibilities that are there, the wonderful opportunities that are there for you to expand your personality and expand your thinking. Yes, Ingeborg makes a laugh there. Yes, Ingeborg. Ingeborg and Sylvia and Anita have just moved into the Oasis. It's not a motel, as you might think it is, but it is a beautiful hacienda. It's a hacienda where love and harmony and happiness dwell, where people live in peace and joy, and where each one of them has one of the three bedrooms. Now, Sylvia has a bedroom that has a southern exposure. In other words, the sun shines in the afternoon and in the midday. That's very lovely. It's a very charming room. It has a shared bath, and it's large, and it has sort of a closet that's a hole in the wall with a few shelves in it. But it's really quite new and quite nice. It has carpet on the floor, And it has Fritz Cook's bed mattress lying on the floor. He mailed one to me one time, and it has a plug for it for the European current, so it can't very well be used here. But who knows what is next to come. Fritz said he's going to mail me another one. He wanted to give me one to carry back with me, but would that have been fun? So,
they're heavy.
They're heavy, yes, they are. So, Sylvia lives in that room, which has two entrances, one out the back and one in the hall. And then off the hall, there's an entrance. The next room is Ingeborg's room, which is a very gentle, loving room where she had lived while we were away in Europe, tending the house when we first got it. And Ingeborg had moved in there because the house had such a gentleness for her. The curtains were in there, put in there by the lady who had lived there before, which indicated a very European attitude, sort of a valance curtain, and they were very, very lovely. What would you call them? Crocheted curtains? It was like the curtains made of string that was made into beautiful designs. And it has since gone its way. And the room, though, is quite lovely. It's adequate room, and it has a shared bath, too. And so the next room is the master bedroom. And the master bedroom has its own bath, has its own sink, its own toilet, its own everything. And it has a sliding glass door out onto the front patio, and has a door into the house that is so big that you have to lift it up to close it because it's hanging on its hinges and it's sort of leaning a little bit. But that'll all be taken care of in time. And then they have for themselves, all these rooms are carpeted. They have a beautiful tiled hall and a beautiful living room with a fireplace and tiles in it and big comfortable furniture that's the type of thing that the most expensive home in town would be proud to say it has. And then a kitchen with a lovely island counter and a built-in stove and dishwasher and a cupboard, a built-in, for food, for storing
pantry.
Food. Pantry, a built-in pantry for food. Really quite lovely. And then it goes right out the back door, where it has another bathroom. So the house has three bathrooms. And a double-car garage that the girls could use to park their limousine when they're arriving in the evening. And it's really quite lovely. And then the surroundings are just grand. It has a big pump house out in back where they can put all their apples that they pick up and let them ripen and become mellow for all the applesauce that Ingeborg likes to make for us. So, these could be challenges, but they were taken as an opportunity to expand. Ellen, too, was given an opportunity to expand. Ellen, where did you live first? Was it in the Hermitage? No, she lived in the Citadel. She lived in the Citadel. And then we moved her out of the Citadel to the Hermitage. And then we moved her back from the Hermitage to the Citadel again. And then we moved her out of the Citadel back into Hermitage again. Because we felt she needed to have some opportunities to be unchallenged by where she was living. Because when she lived in the Citadel, it was very nice, but she didn't put up her knickknacks. And you can be sure that John has already put up many of his knickknacks, and Garrett has put up his knickknacks, and the girls surely are putting up their knickknacks. Knickknacks are when you move your person into a place. Anita will tell you what her knickknack is. Anita, what is your personal knickknack that you told me was, you didn't say that this word, but that you told me indicated when you were at home? Don't look anywhere else. What did you say where your personal home was?
Well,
I'm going to put my hat on.
Oh, no. Little help doesn't hurt, does it? Where you hang your hat is home. Yeah. And so, of course, any person who would be so blatant to make a statement, where I hang my hat is where I make my home, is going to have a lovely place to hang their hat, aren't they?
Right.
They're going to make sure that the place they hang their hat is a very stable place, a very lovely place, a nice hat rack, something that indicates for several hats. A hat for working, a hat for sunning, a hat for running, a hat for whatever, you know. But it's whatever makes your home. Now, if you were to look at the wall by Anita's bed and you'd see the hats there, you know that's where she lives. All of us have something that's indicative of our nature. And we hang that where we are. Some of them are pictures of our loved ones who are long since dead and children buried along with a picture of them. But we don't do that. Some of us have things that our mother and father have given to us that we treasure so. And we should never have things that we treasure. Because when you have things that you have treasure, you can lose the things. Let it be the values of your personality. Let it be the teachings of your parents of how to be a good human being or a good divine being better. How to have values that make up your nature. Who are you? What are your values? That should be your hat. That should be who you are. The values of the type of person. The challenges are just a barometer of our growth. And when we throw away old pictures, are we totally aced out by that? Are we destroyed by that because the pictures are gone? If your home were to burn, what would be the first thing you'd want to save on your way out? I would suggest the baby, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, a human being that is irreplaceable. And primarily yourself. But you don't need to save the possessions that you have. Because possessions are your challenges. You've built them up from childhood. You built up these possessions from when you were just a little child to where you are now. And you've held on to them and held on to them and held on to them. It might be a stone that your mother gave you. It might be some little ring that you got in a Cracker Jack box. And you gave to someone very precious. I wouldn't be surprised if she still has it. No, she doesn't. I know she doesn't. She's gone into the hospital several times, and many times when she went in the hospital, everything she had was lost because nobody took care of it. Well, nobody knew she was going to the hospital. And so everything she had was just destroyed because the people had to rent the apartment out to somebody else while she was away. And so many of the things just were, poof, you know, thought of no value. Because what you think is valuable, other people don't always think is valuable. And they're right. So she has learned a long time ago not to be possessed by things. And we too can learn not to be possessed by things. We can learn that the challenges that we have are an indication of where we are in our growth. How can we release that? How long does it take you to let go of your mother when she dies? How long does it take you to let go of your father or your brothers or sisters when they die? Sylvia hung on to her brother, still hanging on to him, from the time he died, which was maybe 10, 12 years ago, 15 years ago. How long? How long?
6 years.
6 years? 6 years ago he died?
Five.
See how perfectly she remembers? It's so important to her. You see, we want to let go of these things. Let go of these things. Because Sylvia has her own magical life to live. She has her own great unfoldments to be. Each one of you do. You have your own great unfoldments to go through. Oh, it would be tragic to have to lose someone like your mother or your father or your sisters and brothers. And you're very close to them. If John were to lose his family, in mass, he'd say, oh my goodness sakes. Well, bye guys. Been good to know you. Had a wonderful time. whatever your next adventure is, just have a ball, you know. And he'd release him. But if John would say, oh, I love it when my mother calls. I love it when I can talk to my dad. He's been such a treasure to me. He helped me to grow. And I do this. That's the challenge. That's the challenge. Now, the smart way to do it is not to possess them. Not to possess them and let them live a long, long life. They don't have to be a challenge for you. So, don't possess those people who are loved by you and who are blessed by you. Let them live a long life. The more we hold on to things, the more we lose it. The more we hold on to things and possess it, and the more it is difficult for us to let them go and let them expand in their own way. You know, this is true of a mother. A mother holds on to her children. She doesn't knowingly hold on to them, saying, you know, that's the old apron string type of thing, you know. And when her son or daughter goes off to the military or off to college, now you take care now, you do good. Ma, you taught me all my life. I'm going to do just what you told me. And I've been watching you too. And I've been seeing the things you and Dad do. And I'm going to practice those things too. You know, and no, dear, don't do that. This is why we all, as we are teachers for our family and our loved ones, we want to be the best example that we can possibly be. Because if we're not, we're in trouble. And with that, I better say goodbye, or else I'm going to be in trouble since I'm now 17 minutes into a 15-minute talk. So I love you. I bless you. Challenges are a barometer of growth. Make sure your barometer is in order. I love you. Our talk today